Welcome to the Church Tech Club Talk podcast, where we facilitate the motto, Ask, Learn, Do More. Our host is Jonathan Lennon, author of Effective Technology in Ministry, a practical guide, and founder of the Church Tech Club. From time to time, Jonathan is joined by exciting co-hosts, product specialists, plain old product users, and special guests to answer questions you have asked, share pro ministry tech developments, and offer inspiration that promotes reaching, growing, and serving people via intentional tech inclusive strategy.
Okay. Welcome to episode 7 of season 1 of the Church Tech Club's Talk podcast. And today we are closing out season 1, and we wanted to really show off today. We're going to show off. All right. So we're going to jump on the buzz tech topic bandwagon of the past year, AI. Okay, artificial intelligence. Now, today's topic is asking a question. That question is, can AI really contribute to effective church ministry? Or you could say it another way. You can ask it another way. You can say, can AI be a portal to RI, or real intelligence, for church causes? Elder Lennon, did you just introduce us to another acronym? What is RI? I've never heard of that. Right? Don't worry, we'll break it down as we progress through this episode. In fact, I can go ahead and answer the question for you right now. Yes, artificial intelligence can be a way to bring the real intelligence of biblical truth and church mission to greater prominence. Now, on top of that, I'm going to prove how on this day. So go ahead, get your journals out. Record this historic event, because I'm going to introduce you to a tool that is a service backed by a Christ-centered, passionate team that will warm the heart of any pastor, church teacher, or minister. But that's not all, because even the individual believer, the untitled church member, who wouldn't mind a little help keeping the heartbeat of their church's teachings and visions strong, will be intrigued today. So, I met these two gentlemen. I met Nick Smith, the Chief Operating Officer of Tapas, and Preston Page, the founder of Tapas, on one of Oxano's Clarity First webinars entitled Leveraging AI to Advance a Clarity First Vision in Your Church. Now, it was hosted by Brian Rose. He's a senior lead navigator at Oxano, and I love Oxano. Maybe we'll have them on in an upcoming season's episode. But today, we have Nick and Preston with us of Tapas. Come on, y'all, give it up for them. We're glad to have you guys. Y'all are so welcome. Thank you for coming today.
Hey, thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
The sun came out. As well. Oh, let's go.
Really glad to have you guys on today. Really are excited about it, and I know I make some fun about that whenever I do it, but I'm really, really excited because you guys have something that I think a lot of people need to hear about. So I want to welcome you to the show, Nick and Preston, and we're glad to have you on the team, and we're glad to have you cast today.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
All right. So now, after the webinar that we attended, I attended a few weeks back, I got to meet with Nick personally for a closer look at the Tapas AI product. And I thought I was excited during the webinar, but it was only the tip of the iceberg, and I knew my audience needed to get a taste of why AI is not just another techie craze. So Nick, you know, and Preston, I'm glad you could come and break some things down for us today about AI, how it can bring a strategic advantage to a church's visions and missions from what I'll call the Bible first perspective, okay? And shortly, Nick will talk about that and more, and I know Preston's going to get in there too, but first, we want to hear a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to jump right into the goodies for today. So get ready. It's going to be good.
Does your church or ministry have tech questions about a specific product, the right product to choose, or just want to see what others are doing with technology in their ministries? There's a club for that. The Church Tech Club is a community portal where you can collaborate in an ad-free social feed, self-paced learn via video lessons, and discover practical ways to effectively use technology for enhancing your ministry outcomes. Learn more and sign up for free or paid tiers today at thechurchtechclub.com.
Okay, so let's start with an unrelated, happy personal question. How about that?
Sounds great.
Who is, I won't ask that question that we talked about before we came on air. Okay, we'll get that another night, another day. Okay. Who is the most intelligent person in your immediate family? So let's start with you, Nick. The most intelligent person?
Hey, hold on. If I answered this well, then I think I would be the most intelligent person.
Well, I kind of expected that as an answer.
What about truthfully, though?
Yeah. So I'm going to say my wife.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer. And then let me just whisper, possibly my dad underneath my breath.
Okay. All right. Good. All right, Preston, come on. Top that.
I'm gonna go intelligence. Well, I'm gonna get creative with it. So, defining intelligence as emotional intelligence, it is absolutely my son, my 8-year-old. He is the most intelligent emotionally kid I've ever met. And he gets it from my wife. So it comes naturally.
Okay,
so.
Okay. That's good.
I have none of that. He got it all from her.
Well, since I don't usually answer this question, but you guys got me going. You got me thinking about who should I say on this. And so I started thinking about the fact that I'm in the family of God. So I've got to say,
all the loopholes. Jonathan,
you can say me. It's okay.
I can say you. Okay. Very good. All right. So just, you know, it's just something to think about as you go through your day. And I'm pretty sure that whoever hears this is going to understand and you'll be just fine. So... All right, on the serious side. So let's start with the two letters A and I. It's an acronym we know for artificial intelligence. Most people have heard that today and all the buzz of today's tech scene. So educate our audience on two things. First, what is AI? And then secondly, tell us what is AI for the church? You know, like the body of Christ in general. Now we're going to talk about the specifics of the Tapas AI product later. This is more about the general concept, you know, some keywords, phrases that we see on your website, the concepts around modeling AI with church or biblical tenets, and even some of your journey maybe, even to bring these services to the fore for effective church ministry. So what is AI, and then what is AI for the church?
Absolutely. So I'll take the first part of that, and then I'll hand it over to Nick for the second. So when we think about AI and kind of where we're at in this, you know, what we call the information age, if we look back over, you know, throughout history, there have been so many different iterations of this same pattern over and over. And what that looks like is a new technology is introduced, and it ushers in a new information age, a flood of new information that we didn't have previously. You think back even to the early written text. When written text first came out, beforehand, everything was just shared orally. There was no sort of, hey, clay pots that write down all the tax codes and all the different transactions. And so for the people living at that time, that was a new information age for them. They probably were like, look at all this information. We didn't have it before. And then you think about, the printing press, and thinking about television and internet and all these different step-ups in technology. This is just kind of the culmination of where we've been going. So this pattern is not new, is the first thing I want to say. The second thing is, yes, this pattern is not new, but what we're seeing with artificial intelligence is it's almost reaching the point where it's been able to take the culmination of, we've been accumulating knowledge over and over and over the centuries to the point now where we have just this massive, massive, lake and repository of good content out there and a lot of bad content out there that's just sitting there. And so the question is, hey, what does it look like and to actually, as humanity, harness the entirety of the resources that are out there at our disposal? And I think the biggest differentiator in AI versus some of these other iterations of technology that we've seen is that AI is one of the first technologies that really allows us to harness that. Like, the internet exploded the amount of information. It didn't help us out with the digestibility of it. It was more discoverable, yes, but only to a certain degree. Discoverability in the sense of, like, a needle in a haystack is discoverable technically. AI is the first technology that really tries to harness and consolidate that stuff and make it much more usable. So it's a slightly different thing. And so that's when we think about from what it is on a conceptual level. Obviously, I didn't get into anything technical there, and I don't know if we want to get into the math behind neural nets and some of the underlying foundational technologies that kind of led to this. But from a conceptual level, this is just it seems like the natural outcropping of the pattern that we've seen over the last centuries.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah, and then how does AI impact the church? What benefit does it have towards the church? And I really think that it just makes us that much more efficient. So I can answer for me personally. I pastor a small church here in Texas, and it has allowed me to get out of my study room and actually go interact with people, allowed me to go share the gospel and start building relationships at places that I visit frequently. The two things that I always tell our church is you have your neighborhood and you have your network. And those are the places where you can build relationships at, where you're present, and where you can start introducing Jesus into the relationships that you have. And so AI is allowing me to be efficient in what I have to do in order so I can do more kingdom work.
Right. Oh, man, that's great. That's great. That's powerful. So we've seen two things here already. AI is helping us to harness that information, we'll say that in a general sense right now. Yep. But even for the church, right, we can harness information. And I can't wait till you guys hear how Tapas does this. And then we also see that it can help us be efficient. And I think anyone who is unsure about, maybe has some fear about AI, oh, the AI monster is coming, right? You guys know how the television used to be called a long time ago. It was like the one-eyed devil or the one-eyed monster, right? But, we can glean good things from those technological tools as well. So that's very, very good. So we can't ignore how AI has been advancing its potential for many positive things. And we are really excited about how Tapas is bringing something to the table. And we're going to take a closer peek at that in just a second. Anything else you guys want to share about AI?
Yeah, there's something you just mentioned about harnessing, like, AI can be used for a lot of bad things. And it would be unwise to not know where the pitfalls are. But one of the things that Brian from Oxano, the way we met each other, we had a booth next to one another at a church conference. And he comes over to our booth and he's like, so what do you guys do? And we tell him, and he goes, man, it's kind of like when the Romans built the roads that allowed the gospel to spread to the ends of the earth. And he's going, your AI has built the road, and now Tapas is bringing the gospel. I'm going, how did you do that in 10 seconds of talking to us? Like, you are so talented at your job. But it is AI, it would be unwise not to know that it can be used for terrible things.
Yeah.
But we would be missing out on a lot if the church just ignores it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we can either, the church can either abandon it to the darkness, or we can embrace it for the light. And there's so much potential there on the second side of that. And so that's, like Nick said, it would be a travesty if we kind of lost that. And when we look at history, kind of the way that church has adopted new technologies, we don't have a great track record for early adopting new technologies to harness it for the gospel, but we eventually come around. And so if we as the uppercase C church can kind of get on this train earlier, I think the gospel in the kingdom, it only stands to benefit from that.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. What a great start. We're gonna hear a lot more in a second, guys, so hang on. We're gonna pay a bill real quick, and then we'll be right back. Did you know that technology affords a way for you to wear the representation of the gospel message everywhere you go? That's right. As ambassadors of the Kingdom and Will line of top quality wearables, the Church Tech Club can help you represent in style. Whether hats, shirts, or hoodies, you might as well save while you profile. Simply scan the QR code or visit Kingdom and Will at kw.thechurchtechclub.com today. That's kw.thechurchtechclub.com to get a 10% discount and start repping the kingdom in style today. Okay, so before we get into these next questions, I'm going to just pop up on the screen here and a couple of images so you guys can kind of see a little bit about Tapas. And this is a logo. I'm going to move on past this one here. And this is their website. So if you go to tapos.app or https://tapos.app, you can get to the website. And I love this on the first page there. The wisdom of your church is buried. Let Tapas bring it to life. So we're going to see how AI does that in just a second. But this is also something I loved on their website that I hope that everyone gets that are listening today, and that is that it's for individuals, for churches, and for organizations. So as an individual, you can benefit. As a church, you can benefit from this. And even as a denomination or some type of group of churches or nonprofit, maybe whatever it is, you can benefit from this product. And then on their website, they go into some details about what it is and their mission, and we're going to let them share the details. Okay, so I want to know, this is a little bit of a loaded question because there's probably a lot that you can say to answer sure. this, but what is Tapas? And like maybe where did it come from? What are some of the things we should know about the angle that Tapas is taking with AI to mm-hmm. advance the kingdom of God today? So what is it, and kind of what is it about the angle that you guys are taking? Tell us a
little bit. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll talk about kind of the start and the foundation for this, and a little bit maybe about the name. So I was about a year ago, and I was frustrated because I was trying to find something that our pastor had said. It was in a sermon a couple weeks ago. It was a great example, and it was exactly what I needed in that moment to try and share with this guy, you know, about some point that we were talking about. And I could not find it. You know, for the life of me, I was scanning our YouTube page. It was just impossible. And so I realized, man, there's a huge discoverability problem within the church archives. The church archives are not set up to be usable and practically, you know, applied in a daily basis. And so I was like, you know what? Let me try and build something. Let's see what we can do here. Let's see if we can take the sermon content that we have here from, you know, decades and decades and worth of wisdom that's just sitting there gathering dust, and see if we can kind of repurpose that, bring it into a system where we can provide some, you know, AI interface on top of that to interact with all that wisdom. And so the more I thought of that, the more we kind of realized, man, there are so many threads of wisdom out there. You know, there could be sermons, that could be, you know, podcast episodes, that could be all sorts of, you know, resources, commentaries, even just recordings with your mentor. Just so many threads of wisdom that we are exposed to and that we're not exposed to. If I had 1,000 lifetimes, I wouldn't be able to digest all of the wisdom and the content that is out there that could be speaking into my life and enriching me and helping me understand Romans 13 better or whatever it is. And so the question comes down to, hey, what do we do with those threads of wisdom? And so the metaphor here is, can we weave these threads of wisdom or logos, these threads of wisdom, weave them into a tapestry of truth that we can then wrap around ourselves and go out into the day? So that's where the name comes from, tapestry of wisdom, tapestry of logos, tapos. Or if you mishear it, it's tapas. It's like small bite-sized piece of wisdom too. So depending on how hungry you are, you might hear it as tapas. But that's a little bit about kind of the history and the background there. Nick, what in your mind, how would you answer that? What is tapos, and kind of what makes it a little different in terms of the way that we're harnessing AI?
Yeah, so tapos is, it allows you to take all of the church's wisdom from your pastor, people that you trust, your trusted sources, and search through their content in a conversational setting. And so my dad's been a pastor for 20 years. I call him a lot, asking him just pastor to pastor, son to father, mentor to mentee. Hey, what do I do in this situation? Or what is the Bible? Something, whatever it may be. And so now I have access to 20 years of his sermons, to where he's about to retire in April. And now those are, it's a treasure item to me.
Yeah.
Where I get his sermons and I get to still ask questions over his content. And not just over one pastor and their sermons, but now I can tie in organizations like Bible Project or Got Questions or the pastor I went to when I was in college, and when I ask a question, it only pulls from those threads and it gives me an answer that's biblically based, that's Holy Spirit inspired, and that equips me to go do the thing that God wants me to do. Wow. And so the way that we use AI is, the big scary thing about AI is, where did you get that answer from?
Yeah.
And so our goal was to give us confidence in going, you choose who you trust to speak into your life.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love this point right here with you guys, because I believe that this is one of the things that can open the door. I think Preston kind of hit it a little bit just now. It opens sort of some additional windows in your house. You know, like you can let some sun shine in some other from some other angles. And I also like that you can vet it. You don't have to just let anything come in, but you can actually know. And usually the interesting thing is that pastors usually know, you know, I'm talking about pastors who are serious about, you know, their relationship with Christ and sure. God and their people. They're shepherding these people and they are protecting them. And God has given them a specific, in you guys, you Nick, a specific focus for those who are in your fold. It yep. may be a little different than others get, but you have to do what God has given you for them. And so you've got to make sure that whatever you're getting to them is kind of what they need to have. Well,
there's the what we, as Preston and I talk, we've come up with this analogy of a shepherd, and you're in this like grassy hill, and it's the shepherd's leading their sheep, and the sheep are ingesting this grass that looks good. But it may be filled with pesticides or whatever. And the sheep are just eating whatever is in front of them. And the job of the pastor is to go, guys, there's really good grass that's healthy over here. I know where it's sourced from. Come follow me over here and let's start ingesting this. And so this was what Preston was saying, of using AI to equip the church. And like, it can either be darkness or light. And it, part of the pastor's job is going, guys, what you're ingesting from secular AI is not healthy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go ingest this food over here that is biblically based.
Yeah, we've done some side-by-side comparisons that are interesting and scary in certain scenarios. And so we've done some, a great example is like asking, who is Jesus? You just ask, pull up ChatGPT, ask who is Jesus, and you'll get a very generic answer. It will not point you to gospel truth. It'll say, hey, some people believe this, some people believe this. It's up to your own personal interpretation type of thing. And you can dive in deeper and you can modify your prompt engineering and stuff like that. But imagine the teenager who's struggling with their faith, or the new believer who's just reaching out and trying to understand more, asking that versus what happens when you ask Tapos that's gospel-centric and adheres to core Christian beliefs and inspired and fed entirely from these trusted sources. When you ask that, it's pointing you directly to Scripture. It's giving you exact examples of, hey, here's why we believe what we believe. Here's the sermons. Here's the snippets of that wisdom that you can go listen to at that exact moment in time and listen to those different sermons there. And another example we've done that I like to point out is I've asked, like, hey, I'm considering making a big change in my career, or there's some we're thinking about moving, something like some big life decision. And when you ask secular AI that, what you get is it's a gut feeling. You know, go with your gut feeling. What feels good, basically. When you ask Tapos that, you get take that to God. Lean into, hey, what is he directing you to? Where do you see life and potential in terms of a biblical and community type of sense? And it's just a much more gospel-centric, rooted answer that points you back to what we believe and know to be gospel truth, as opposed to the wisdom of the world, which more often than not is gut feeling. What feels good? So it's just it's a stark difference. So when I think about my kids and what I want them to be ingesting, what do I want them to seek wisdom of when they have questions as they're growing up and maturity, you know, maturing and going through puberty and all the things that come with that, when they're asking questions and trying to understand, I want them to have a resource that is gospel-centric and rooted in truth that's going to guide them down the right path as opposed to the path that the world leads to.
Awesome. Wow, that is on it. I tell you what, we definitely, you know, and some of the things that we hear out there sound good, you know, but, you know, you really have to be careful. And so having a method of vetting is very, very, very good. And so I was going to form, you guys have really already answered this question that I was going to ask you, you know, to, you've given sort of really that bird's eye view of how the service, the website, the app, works. You know, what does LLM have to do with this? You know, what are we talking about when we say LLM? Maybe explain that words, that phrase to people as well. And why Absolutely. This concept of vetted data and targeted sources is important. You've really kind of already answered it, but maybe you can tell them a little bit about LLM, how you guys do it to make it all work.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like we love acronyms on the podcast here. So we'll talk. So LLM, for those who don't know, it stands for Large Language Model. That is kind of the generic word that's out there that describes the way a lot of these models work. Now, there are certain more reasoning models that are coming out that are kind of iterations on top of this. But the base, you know, when we think about ChatGPT and kind of what that started out as, that is an LLM model. A lot of the back end for that is started with neural nets that we've been doing for kind of decades. And so it's large language models basically take the information that they are trained on. And what they're trying to do is they break that information down into numbers, essentially, and then start mapping the relationships between those numbers. And so interestingly, at the end of the day, it really all comes down to probability. It's probabilistically trying to determine what is the next syllable or token or character, small byte of information that should follow based on what has been said so far. So as it's crafting those sentences, it doesn't seem like it because of the way it works. It's genuinely fascinating that it works so well. But it's basically saying, hey, these words have been said so far. Statistically, this is the next word that should be said after that. And so it's very, very important what it's been trained on in terms of what's going to go into that. And so the way that we've approached this, let's throw another acronym out there for you, is RAG. We're using a RAG methodology, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation. What that means, in non-techie terms, is we have basically got the base model under the hood, and we iterate out, you know, as AI improves, Tapos is built to be modular so that we improve and our underlying base technology improves. But on top of that, what we have is we have the organization's content layers. So you can think of it as your sermon library, your podcast library, your commentaries. All of those are stored in their own separate database. It's called a vector database, which maps the relationships between the content and the wisdom that's with, or the information that is sitting within that database. And so when you as a user
go to Tapos. Also, this is how it works almost, well, when you go to Tapos, let's talk about it this way. When you go to Tapos and ask a question, what's happening is, first off, it's going to go through and it's using the base underlying model to kind of run the engine, you know, of how this is going to be working. But when it's looking for, it's going to preferentially pull information from the specific organization's vector database that you've selected. And so say you've selected this church here, Bible Project, and Got Questions. And those are your three databases that you're going to be answering your question from. And so within Tapos, you know, the user doesn't know this is how it's working, but when they select their organizations, that's what's happening. It's going to feed the information entirely from that content, but also as a protective measure, we've built into Tapos some strict prompt engineering to ensure that it adheres to core Christian beliefs. And so, Nick, you want to talk about your example of kind of putting that to the test?
Yeah, so that's something that I tested pretty heavily before ever introducing this to my congregation. I went to JW.org, Jehovah Witness, and I downloaded their Is Jesus God article. And in their article, it clearly states Jesus is not God. Right. That's what they believe. Mm-hmm. It's why, sorry, I don't know who I'm going to offend, why they're not Christians.
Hey, tell the truth over here.
Yeah, so I uploaded their document and I began asking questions over that document alone. And the question I asked was, is Jesus God? Very direct, very pointed. And Tapos goes, according to this document and this document alone, the identity of Jesus is that he is the Son of God. Awesome. It wouldn't answer, it would not affirm what the document was saying, which means that our prompt engineering is working,
yes.
That it will not contradict core Christian beliefs that Jesus is God. When I delete that document and then I just ask through my sources, is Jesus God? The first, literally the first word is yes. Yes.
And we don't get into doctrinal beliefs or anything right. like that. We stick to the core Christian beliefs because we do want this to be a fairly open platform for the uppercase C church as a whole. Basically, we built into it safety measures around, one, the base models themselves have a good deal of, you know, safety measures built into them. The secondary safety measure is your church's content. It's going to give you information fed from the church's content and the stuff that's been uploaded. But also, we've put in that core kind of gatekeeping measure at the end of, it's going to respond with core Christian beliefs. It's not going to go outside of that.
So I get a question a lot from pastors, and they go, so how do you keep your AI from going crazy or and they use the word, how do you keep it from going woke?
Oh, gotcha.
And I go, just don't preach woke sermons.
That's right.
It's through your content.
That's right.
Like, no, if you're worried about that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love this because one of the things that I see in this, it reminds me of how Jesus would have handled things. Jesus try to drum up drama or, you know, most of the time the drama is from the other side. You know, he's not trying to make anything, any kind of conflict or anything like that. It's just that the truth is causing the conflict. You know, the word of God. And when I say truth, I'm talking about biblical truth. I'm saying the tenets of the scripture and what we believe and what we teach and all that, about, you know, in terms of Christ and what he's done for us and that we're, you know, grace, saved by grace, and so on and so forth. I'm saying that I love this because I can see how people would be concerned. You know, how is it that this isn't going to bring, well, we're vetting. We've got, you know, I love on your site, and you can talk about this in a minute, but on your app, you can actually pick those groups that you vet that have, that are teaching the truth and the word of God. And so now you know that what your members are going to see when they're searching for assistance and building a devotional or doing whatever they're doing. They actually can be getting more depth around that biblical truth, around that biblical doctrine, and not outside of it. So I love that, and I'm glad you guys have brought it to the table. And I can't wait. I got to tell my audience, I've installed it. I'm getting ready to introduce it to our church, and it was easy to use. I've been excited about that, so I'm looking forward to really seeing us have access to some of those other churches that are teaching the truth as well. And another good thing about this that I like, and I know I'm actually adding in a little bit here, but ad-libbing. One of the things I like is that a lot of times people don't realize that there are small churches out there that are really doing a good job teaching the truth of the gospel. You know, the pastor's like really bringing it, and the only people that know about it are the people in the building, you know. Nobody else really knows what's going on. But this is an opportunity when you know you have the truth, that you can put it on a platform that others who want the truth and want to grow can actually tie you in. We'll let you guys tell us how that happens in a minute. They can tie you in so that you can actually take advantage of what is out there. So
yep, that's actually a feature that we're looking to introduce later this year, which is essentially more of a discover functionality, where it's, hey, you can select and limit down to your trusted five sources or whatever it is, or you can just ask a blanket question and just see the wisdom of the church that's out there, you know, and it's going to, you know, help democratize some of what you're talking about there. And, you know, so, you know, there is any small church, it doesn't matter. You're preaching gospel truth. Great.
Yeah.
It's going to be referenced and extracted the same way as amazing organizations like Bible Project's content is. It helps kind of democratize some of that wisdom, and make it so those threads of wisdom that are from the small churches can be discovered, in a more broader context.
Awesome. Awesome. And so I do, want to also add that, you know, our focus as the Church Tech Club is usually small to mid-sized churches, but this applies, today what we're talking about applies to whatever the size of your church is. I mean, so even if you have a large organization, you definitely want to take a close look at this. I'm not sure if I ask it later, but I know denominations can take advantage of this as well. And, you know, have a platform to share the information across that group. So,
yep.
Yeah, and the entry, the like barrier entry is nothing. We offer free versions. So it's free for any church, any size to go upload content. You get to upload basically a year's worth of sermons. And then it's free for anyone to go create an account, a user account, and go follow your church. And so then you get to start asking questions over your pastor's sermons like that. It's all free for that. And so if anyone's going, yeah, but how much does it cost? And just get on the free version and see how well and how efficient you can become by. I mean, Preston has this story in the Uber that just it basically captures what Tapos is trying to do.
Yeah.
And so you can share that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one last thing before I tell that example is that thing, you know, the free tier was something early on that was very important to us, is that we want to make it so that there's no barrier to entry for your wisdom and your content to be accessible. A lot of them are, you know, a lot of y'all are already putting your stuff out there for free on YouTube. And so we just want to take what you're already doing. We also have an integration where we pull directly from your YouTube playlist. And so there's no additional work for people as well. We make it really simple, just auto pull from that. And so there should be no barrier to entry, both technically or financially, for your wisdom to be accessible to your congregation. And then the same thing, you know, one of the big things is I don't want there to be any reason why an atheist shouldn't be able to pull up Tapos. You know, if I'm an atheist, I'm not going to go pay to go search over Christian wisdom. But if it's free, yeah, I might just go in there and poke around for fun. And so, you know, if that leads to some gospel truth being shared, that's exactly the vision and the heart behind that. And so the example that Nick was saying.
Let's come back to your example. I want to do one more ad. We're going to look at your example, because one of the things I was definitely going to ask you guys are for some examples of how Tapos can help a pastor, a church worker, a volunteer, even a church member to serve or grow Christ, or even to help others come to know him better. So hold that thought. I want to get that example in, and we'll do that right after this. Hang on, guys.
Sounds great.
What if I told you there was a way to get personalized, hand-holding support to build a long-term, big-picture strategy for technology in your ministry? Well, there is. The Simple Strategic Approach Masterclass is included in the premium tier of the Church Tech Club and provides direct access to personal training and coaching. The 6 steps outlined in Jonathan's book, Effective Technology in Ministry, A Practical Guide, come to life as you are guided through a series of exercises to help you establish and implement the tech that promotes leading, reaching, and growing people effectively. Learn more and click the Give Me Access button at lunnonservices.com/SSA Masterclass to see a personal detailed video about this service. That's spelled lonnonservices.com/SSA Masterclass.
Okay, so we're getting ready to hear an example or a demonstration from Preston. He's going to kind of tell us a little story here, and we're interested in knowing more about how this tool and things like this can really help churches be more effective. Yeah,
absolutely. So I'll tell an example more from kind of the individual side. So the individual Christian seeking to use the wisdom of the church in a practical way on a day-to-day basis. And then Nick, if you can talk a little bit from the pastor side. So from a church side, how is this utilized and implemented to be effective in your ministry and your discipleship of your congregation? And so this was probably about, at this point, probably 6 months ago at this point. So it was very early on with Tapos. We had very few churches in there, but I was in an Uber. I was talking with the guy, and he opens up with me about the fact that he's been struggling with addiction, or recovering from addiction. I've never personally gone through that. I don't have that in my life experience, or so I don't have the wisdom to speak into that from my own kind of personal experiences. However, I wanted to speak gospel truth to this guy. I want to kind of engage with him and support him and be there for him, kind of be what we're called to be in the world and be a light. And so I pull up Tapos because I knew several churches that were on the platform had a freedom ministry and had sermon series that talked about, hey, supporting and recovering people through that season of life. And so I pull it up and just discreetly type in the backseat, hey, give me some advice on ways to speak gospel truth into someone recovering from addiction. And it comes up with an amazing answer, again, rooted specifically in the gospel and Holy Spirit-inspired truth of these churches' sermons. Helps me guide that conversation, helps me navigate questions to ask, verses to share with them, things to encourage him with or support him through. And then I swipe to the left there and I can see all the sources of the exact spots within those sermons where it found that. I'm like, hey man, can I share this with you? Can I just share this link? If you don't listen to anything else, go to minute 35. There's something that really there I think God wants to share with you. And then finally, I can swipe one more time and generate resources from the chat, from the conversation that I'm having about this topic, and from the sources that it's extracted. I can generate guided prayer, podcast episodes, social media posts, training guide, personal reflection prompts. In that moment, what I was looking for, though, was guided prayer. So I hit guided prayer. I say, hey, customize this however I want. So I say, give me this in Spanish. And so now it generates this guided prayer that I'm now praying for this guy in his native tongue from Holy Spirit-inspired wisdom on a topic that I personally had no business speaking truth into in a meaningful way. But now I got goosebumps in the moment because I was like, man, I'm literally an extension of the church here. I'm the hands and feet of Christ. And, there's the body of wisdom here that is out there, and I'm able to utilize that and practically apply that to this moment to have a gospel-centric, Holy Spirit moment where we can really speak some truth into something. This is not taken away from the Holy Spirit, being able to utilize me in the moment. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit could have used me in that moment however he wanted, but it's really, really cool to be able to see all this treasure trove of wisdom being able to be applied in a new way. And it's basically taking, like we say on the website, the wisdom of your church is buried. Let's resurrect that wisdom. Let's use it, let's breathe new life into that content and that wisdom and make it so it's practically usable on a daily basis for examples like that. So that's what we want to equip, is more and more moments like that for all of us as believers to be able to go out into the world and use the wisdom of the church.
Oh man, you know what that reminded me of? I was getting ready to look up the scripture, but I think it was Philip, wasn't it Philip, that met the eunuch on the The road to Damascus. No, it wasn't the road to Damascus. That was Paul. But he was on his on the road and
Acts 6.
Yeah, and so that was almost.
You should know, Nick. You preached through that recently.
It's like
a,
I did.
It's like a modern day Philip story. You know, story there, a miracle, where this guy's trying to figure out Isaiah. He doesn't know what he's reading, and Philip jumps on and says, "Hey, I can explain that to you." Well, yeah. In this
it's only
day
a tapas
time,
right there. Just pull that up.
Just pull it up in tapas, you know.
Oh man, awesome. That's so cool. That's one of the features I hate talking about vaporware, but one of the things that we're going to be working on soon is an integration with a product called Seed Bible. And hopefully Craig's okay with me mentioning this, but I love what they're doing with Seed Bible. They're basically trying to make a discoverability layer on top of the Bible. So you've got the Bible, but then you've got all your sources and all the resources of different organizations that you're interacting with. And you can say, I'm on the road there and I'm reading and I don't understand Isaiah 6 right here, I've got, boom, ask all the resources. So my trusted roundtable of organizations and wisdom, every time they've ever talked about or preached on Isaiah 6, I can see it right there and I can interact with it and ask questions like, hey, but what does it mean about that in that verse? And it's going to, again, be extracted from that. And so that's an integration and a partnership we're really, really excited about kind of pursuing later on this year.
Looking forward to hearing more about that. Yeah.
It was Acts 8. I'm so sorry.
It was Acts 8. Okay.
Oh, and call yourself a pastor. AI is going to take your job.
Just kidding. Oh, Lord. You'll still get the credit, Nick. You'll still get the credit. Yeah.
Nick, could you talk us through a little bit of an example on the church side of things? As a pastor, and how is this used for your congregation?
Sure. Yeah, so I preach a sermon, and since I pastor a very, very, very small church, I learned when I say small in Texas, it means 300. So very, very, very small. Yeah, one just one. It's not even my wife.
Yeah, she goes down the road.
Yeah, she goes to the real church down the road.
Especially, well, it's not because of that answer you gave earlier. So.
Full circle movement right there. I preach a sermon and I either upload my audio file or I just upload my notes as a PDF file. And I usually do that Monday morning. And then I send it out to the church for anyone who may have missed. And now they have what I send out is it's my notes or my audio file. It's a summary. It's a key takeaways. We parse through all that data and we make it applicable. And then they can actually ask questions just based off that one sermon that I send them. And so now everyone has access to what my notes are and what's being preached, and they can reference back to it. And normally on Tuesday, Monday evening or Tuesday, I'll generate a prayer based off that one sermon. I try to do it on Mondays because everyone is like, beginning of the week, get my horses in order, and they're not going to read a study guide. And so just a quick prayer to remind them, this is what we talked about on Sunday. Let it carry through your week. And so I'll send the prayer. On Tuesday, I may do a daily devotional that I've generated that I'll send out. Thursday, we do our small groups. We do a men's and women's small group. And so we could generate study guides based off that sermon. And now we have a guided discussion questions over what we preached on Sunday. And so that it's just carrying that thread throughout the entire week.
Yes.
And it makes the sermon, it's taken it from a 40-minute Sunday message to a 7-day series. And then we talk about it during the week. And it's been amazing. It really has.
One of the questions we used to ask pastors is, hey, how does your sermon disciple beyond Sunday morning? By the time they've forgotten about it after, Sunday lunch, how is it continuing to disciple beyond that? And this is really trying to solve that question.
And then if you're a good pastor, and you're not finishing your notes the morning of, you can actually upload your notes whenever you're done. Let's say you're done Thursday, Friday. You can hide them so your church isn't looking ahead, but you can send it to your children's ministry team and they can start generating crafts based off the sermon you're going to preach. And so there's a unity piece of, hey, the parents are learning this and the kids are learning the exact same thing for their age group. And so one thing that we do at our church is we expect parents to actually parent and disciple. Yeah, I know, it's shocking. And so they have these conversations of, so what did you learn at church? And there's just this unity where the parent is going, oh, well, they're answering their kids' questions because we just preached on it. Mm-hmm. And so it is unifying the church as well.
I love it. I think I got a new phrase from this, and that I would call tapas saute.
Where I like
you're
it.
Sauteing. I mean, all week long, you're like really getting it in there. I love mm-hmm. that. And I'm not a great cook or anything like that. As you were talking, that's just kind of how it's, you know, it's soaking in. It's a way mm-hmm. to really get that message in. And I think most pastors want that. You know, mm-hmm. they want their members to really hear what God was giving them. And a lot of times that gets lost after Sunday or by Sunday.
You know how it's so discouraging to prep to go preach a sermon and then it's like, so mm-hmm. by lunchtime the same day they're already going, well, what was the topic
like,
man, what are we doing? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Awesome, guys. You guys are hitting it on all cylinders. And in case our listeners want to you know, follow up with you about something that you've said today, follow you on social media, sign up to start using this unique AI of Tapas mm-hmm. for better access to the real intelligence of church teaching or documentation. I love that too, how you mentioned documentation and all that, any kind of archive. Where can they find you online? So I'm going to pop up here. I think I got this right. So let's see, tapas.app,
yes, sir.
Is that right?
That's perfect. Okay. That's right. And then on right there, so on that, right there in the nav, up across the top, there's a Get Started button.
Okay.
So just click on that Get Started button. It's going to walk you through just a simple little six-step sign up program, and that'll get your organization set up. So this is, let me clarify, that's going to be if you're trying to set your church up, create an organization, and start uploading your content in there. Again, completely free. There's a subscription page on that. Just skip over that. We don't want your money for now. We're just inviting you into what the Lord's doing here. Try it out and explore the upgraded features that you'll have access to for about a month. You'll always have it for free for organizations to interact, for users to interact with your content on the Tapas application. But on the enterprise tier that you'll have access to for a month, you have the ability to embed it within your church's website. You have a white labeled page that you can provide that's accessible, and just the content of your church's organization is searchable within that. So and you also get a thing called the Heartbeat Report. Nick, can you tell a little bit about the Heartbeat Report?
Yeah, so it's information pastors have never had before. And so what the Heartbeat Report is you get an anonymous search result of what's being searched over your content. And so it'll generate a report for me saying, hey, 70% of the searches this month have been about how do I parent in a godly way? You should probably do a sermon series on this is what your congregation is asking. Feed them. Mm-hmm. And so you should, and it'll give you recommendation steps of, hey, this is what you should be doing.
Oh man, this is so beautiful. I can't wait.
Also, yeah, in order to contact us, I'm sorry, Jonathan. I also do live demos, the same thing I did with you, Jonathan. I would love to get to meet you all. Jonathan and I had a great time for the hour. We took the whole hour, I think, and just chatted. And so if you want to see Tapas in action, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to show you. And yeah, it's been, I told Jonathan, I was like, man, just use the email that when you signed up for an appointment for the demo, just you and I, let's just keep chatting back and forth. And so we have an email thread going. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can tell you guys out there in the audience that it is a very good tool. It's very easy to use, very well laid out. And I know you're going to love it. I encourage you to take advantage of this. Period of the trial, is that like 30 days, or I can't couldn't remember if it was 15 or 30
Yes,
days or
sir. Yeah,
something.
30-day trial.
30-day
And then
trial.
again, after that, you still have
You
access to the free
still
tier.
have
We can
access.
upload, 50 pieces of content, and your content is accessible on the main Topos application. So we've talked about it for churches. If you're just an individual user, church member, you want to go with Bible Projects on there, Got Questions is on there, really a lot of really great wisdom that's out there. You can just go to Topos, and then there's just a login button, and you just log in with your email. Completely free, just log in with your email, and you then browse your communities, select what communities you want to follow, and then start asking questions. So again, really easy, just log in with your email for the user side of things. If you're a church wanting to add your content, hit the get started, and that's going to walk you through setting up your organization and get it, help you pull your content in.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, I've got to say, wow. You guys in the Church Tech Club got a blessing today. What great information. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Preston. We appreciate you for bringing this today. There you have it, another great episode. And, both Nick and Preston revealed how AI can lead us to RI through this unique application of one of the most revolutionary technologies to step into view today. And if a local church can take a step beyond a list of sermon replays and bring the information to life as an interactive chatbot, and we didn't even talk about the chatbot thing, but they've got a chatbot. You can just put your questions, your search in there, a librarian resource that you can use it as, or even as a doorway to other vetted Christian training or devotional content. What is there not to love, right? So I definitely want to encourage you guys to take a close look at this. I usually like to add a note that assures our TCTC Talk podcast listeners that we are both balanced and sincere believers, disciples and followers of Christ. We never attempt to bend the word or the truth of God to fit culture, fads, or styles. We promote holy living and adoption only of tools in tech that can draw, build, and grow people, not attention. And all that we offer is a part of that press toward the mark that Paul talked about, that knowing of Christ better and better. This is important to mention because some don't believe that modern or digital tools are critical to the church's fulfillment of the Great Commission. I won't argue that you could do it all without any technology. But why? Okay, sure, some have gone too far with tech initiatives, but we know him and we're going to do whatever we can within the tenets of the doctrines of the faith to make him known. Any attraction we gain is only to detract from the cares of this life and to draw men and women to the Lord. So I hope you gained rich insights from Nick and Preston today of Tapas on how AI can contribute to effective church ministry and to the people growth that you want to see. Don't forget to check out our discount on the Kingdom at Kingdom and Will Christ rep and gear that we offer, and I'll see if I can show you that real quick. If you go to kw.thechurchtechclub.com, you can see some of the gear that we have. This one is Grace, Lest Any Should Boast, and they've got shirts and hoodies and all kinds of good stuff out there. If you get something from that website link, you will be supporting us. So again, thanks Nick and Preston. We're so happy. I'm just thankful to you for coming on. This is a great way to close out this season. We're going to probably have you back later when you have some more new stuff that you want to share, because I really believe that this is going to help a lot of ministry. So we're excited about it. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you so much. So until next time, to all of our audience, God's favor to you.
That brings us to the end of this TCTC Talk episode. Thanks to our guests, highlighted companies, and our amazing audience, that's you, for joining us during today's exciting discussion of relevant technology topics for ministry. We hope the value in this episode was evident and beneficial to you. As always, thanks for listening to the Church Tech Club Talk Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platforms or find all episodes at lononservices.com/TCTC Talk. That's spelled lononservices.com/TCTC Talk. If you enjoy our show, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Be sure to come back next week for a fresh discussion of technology for ministry. Until then, Jonathan wants to remind you that the Church Tech Club's motto is about motivating you to do three things: ask, learn, do more.